Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome to Shea Soundcheck. My name's John Schaefer. I'll be your host today. Can I interest you in our specials? How about our strolling violinist? On our program today, live music and food, from restaurants to the produce aisle. And for our dessert course, singer-songwriter Jacob Dylan, with a side of Nico Case and Kelly Hogan. They'll play live. After a 15-month renovation, the Plaza Hotel's fabled Palm Court restaurant is reopening this month, and among the changes, they're dropping the live harp music. But in other restaurants, old traditions die hard, from the strolling violinists in Little Italy, to sitar players on Curry Row, to the boisterous mariachi bands in many Mexican eateries. Still, in the age of Muzak and iPods, we have to ask, does live music have a place in the modern dining experience? And Soundcheck listeners will want to hear from you. Do you go to places like the Plaza? Will you miss the harp music there? What do you like or dislike about live music at the restaurants? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or leave a comment at wnyc.org/soundcheck. That's soundcheck, he said. Joining us now for some perspective on this is Aileen Gallagher. She's senior editor of New York Magazine's Grub Street blog. And Diane Leslie, who is the pianist at the West Village restaurant, One If By Land, Two If By Sea. Aileen, welcome.
Thank you for having me, John.
Diane, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you so much.
Aileen, we've heard that the Palm Court no longer doing live harp music. Is this a symptom of a wider trend in restaurants?
Well, it's hard to tell. I think they didn't get rid of music entirely. They replaced the harp with a violin and a piano player. Mm-hmm. So and we were discussing before the show whether that was cheaper and decided that you didn't have to pay cartage fees on a violin and a piano.
Right, where you do have to cart a harp in every time you want to use it, I guess.
Right, and there's something about a harp that is stuffier, I think, than a piano and a violin. And there's some places that you absolutely expect to be hearing a piano. You expect to hear one at One If By Land. You expect to hear one when you take your mom out to brunch at the River Cafe, places like that. And so I think harps are done.
But are there fewer places like that? Are we seeing restaurants as a cost-saving measure doing away with, it's easier just to plug in an iPod to a dock and play music that way.
Right, and in some ways, I'm not sure if it's a cost-saving measure, but it might be an aesthetic call by the restaurant. iPods and playlists allow chefs to create their own soundtrack for their restaurant. And, chefs like to control as much as possible, so why not?
Diane, what does, first of all, tell me a little bit about your experience as a pianist playing in a restaurant. I've always felt kind of bad for musicians who are playing sort of in the background. Do you feel ignored? Do you feel like you've been reduced to part of the decor, in a sense?
I totally do not feel ignored. We are an integral part of the restaurant. The restaurant has the piano in the window. We are on a stage, and I'm constantly getting requests throughout the night. I think the music really does add to the evening. It's a magnificent restaurant with the most incredible ambiance. But somehow the live piano music does make a difference.
And how often are you? You're there Sunday through Tuesday and then Thursday nights.
Yeah, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. And Joe Rubinstein plays on the other nights.
Mm-hmm. So you start, what, before the dinner rush? So there's music happening before people ever come in.
Yes.
And what's the gig like? I mean, for example, what would a late night at the restaurant be?
Well, it's interesting because every single night is different. Somebody asked me the other night, Diane, what's your favorite night of the week? And I don't have one because they're all amazing. And somebody can come in at 11:30 at night and request the Moonlight Sonata or request Radiohead. It's really not about the time. If somebody is getting engaged, it's more like The Way You Look Tonight, mm-hmm. the Casablanca song. It Had to Be You is very hot. And that's kind of interesting because these are all songs from totally different era, and they're very hot right now with couples who are getting engaged.
But will people come up to you and request Radiohead?
Definitely. I can be in the middle of Schubert's 784 Sonata, and somebody will request Radiohead. And I also play a lot of Dave Matthews. I play songs by a new group called Morningwood.
Mm-hmm.
I play a lot of Beatles, a lot of Billy Joel, but I also play a lot of Rachmaninoff and a lot of my own compositions, which are sort of new age pop.
Mm-hmm. One of which is this piece called Nightfall from, I guess, Diane Leslie. Bit of music from pianist Diane Leslie, her piece Nightfall. She performs Sunday through Tuesday and then again Thursday nights at the restaurant One If By Land. She's with me, so is Aileen Gallagher, the senior editor of Grub Street, New York Magazine's food restaurant blog. And Aileen, it's one thing if you're going to a restaurant like One If By Land, where you expect, you know, to hear live music as part of the experience, the dining experience. What if you just, I mean, at what point does your heart sink when you walk into a restaurant? Maybe you're going to review it and you suddenly realize, oh my God, there's a band there I'm going to be really close to. I mean,
size has a lot to do with it. If you're in a very small restaurant and suddenly there, even a guitar, which you can play quietly, you're kind of like, I wasn't expecting a guitar to be here, or I wasn't expecting a tuba behind me when I'm trying to have brunch.
Like, now, you might has that happened? Have you found yourself eating brunch with a tuba player behind you?
I'm probably not saying the right instrument. It looks like a small tuba, but Bar Tabac in Cobble Hill, there's kind of a French gypsy jazz band.
Oh.
And I mean, it's great. The music's great, but it's also a big, big brassy band playing while you're probably hungover.
So now how does the industry balance bringing you a cool band like that with the fact that people are eating, they want to be able to talk and stuff like that?
Well, some restaurants have a separate area, maybe a separate room, like a back room, where the music is. You can kind of opt for it or not. And you can also, you know, kind of trickles out through the door and so forth. Like Marcus Samuelson, who is going to open up a restaurant called Red Rooster in Harlem at the end of the summer, he is putting in a space for live music, and that's going to be more of a bar area. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of the place where you would drop in before or after your meal. And I'm not sure if they're going to serve food in that room or not, but it sounded, the way he was talking about it, as if it was going to be more of a bar with a music area.
Uh-huh. So not necessarily a dining place.
Yeah, and I again, like, real estate has a lot to do with it. There's just not a whole lot of room in many restaurants for, you know, you could put another table there and make more money.
Right, right. Let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners think about music, live music in restaurants. And we'll begin in Brooklyn with Mark, who is a musician himself. And Mark, do you like the idea of music?
Yes, hello. I hate it.
Why? As a musician, tell me why you hate live music in the restaurant.
I tell you, because I always compare with this. Consider you a doctor. So they would put you in the restaurant, they would tell, okay, go eat your dinner, and by the way, here's a doctor, he's going to check up your pulse. That's what it is.
Do you really think that's a fair analogy, Mark?
Yes, I do think that's what it is.
So basically you're saying that the musicians are being devalued by being in the background.
Exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. That's why no one wants to pay musicians for their art.
Hmm.
Because they always think, oh, I'm just going to eat my dinner, you know, like make a sound with my forks, chewing food, and hey, there's going to be a guy playing music.
Well, now, Mark, if as a musician yourself, if someone offered you a really good paying gig at a restaurant, would you take it?
Of course I would take it.
Okay.
That's what I do, but that's why I can't play concerts, because even if you go, if you want to play concerts in Brooklyn or in New York, the way the venue makes money by selling beer.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
That's another trap.
All right. Now Mark is as he's told us, against the idea, but Marco, across the river in New Jersey, also a musician, has a different point of view. Marco, what do you think?
I think that you just cannot replace live music, the feeling that you get, the interaction with the people that are eating there, and the sense of intimacy that goes between the audience and the and the musicians. Just can't be replaced with an iPod. I understand what Mark is saying, and I've definitely felt that at times, that it is devalued at points, but again, there's nothing like that live music feeling that you get.
Marco, have you played in a restaurant live?
Yeah, I play every week live in a restaurant, and it's great.
Okay. Mark, any final thoughts before I let both of you go? Marco,
Just keep on doing good work doing this program, because I can listen to it.
Yeah. All right. Marco, thank you both.
You're welcome.
Let me come back to you, Diane. The idea that, people do come to your restaurant expecting
yes.
to hear. Have you ever played at a place where maybe, a restaurant where people weren't already prepared for the sight and sound of a live musician in the room?
Well, the piano is very visible.
True enough.
I don't remember ever going in where they didn't want music. I have played in some very noisy places, and you have to kind of go with the moment if you're prepared to play one thing. Sometimes at the very last minute, you just change, and I think that's one of the factors that go into being a pianist in a restaurant. You have to be very flexible, and you also have to use discretion. If you're playing something very wild and loud, and somebody comes over and they want something very soft and romantic, you have to really adjust very quickly.
Mm.
You have to really be on the ball at all times.
Well, now, a pianist, Aileen, is in one place behind that big old visible instrument. What about strolling musicians? Do you see a lot of that in restaurants these days?
I personally have never seen it in 10 years of eating out in New York, and I don't know anyone who's ever seen that. I think it's kind of anything where it becomes a kind of a sitcom trope, that there's always the sketch where someone is eating dinner and they're having an important conversation, and the violinist comes up and plays really loud and
mm-hmm.
Interrupts them, and mayhem ensues. And anything that's kind of a running joke like that in our culture, I think, is officially dead in real life.
Although there apparently, I don't know this from personal experience, but there's apparently a Hungarian restaurant on the Upper East Side where they still have the strolling gypsy fiddler.
And I think that's fun, and I bet that's why people go, because there's one place that does it.
Mm-hmm. So some people want that sitcom trope. They want to live that.
I don't think they want it regularly, but I think every
right.
once in a while that's a fun thing.
Right. Again, we're talking about the experience of live music in the restaurant, which is something that continues here in New York and elsewhere, although perhaps not to the extent that it once did in this age of easily accessible playlists off of iPods. And we'd like to know what you think. Our number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment on the website wnyc.org/soundcheck. And what about you, Diane? As I say, you're a stationary musician. Have you experienced, strolling musicians? Have you seen, you've probably seen more of this than I have.
I don't think I have.
So this really is something that we
don't... something very unique, yes.
Yeah.
There was, I think, an Italian restaurant in the village. I don't know the name, but... and sometimes they have opera singers who are also servers. There are flexible situations.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the hazards of the job of playing live night after night in a restaurant?
Well, it's really not a hazard, but you have to be prepared. If the piano is at the bar when you first come in, we're in the window, as I had said, and many times people in the dining room run over and do make requests. Now, if we're very, very crowded, Even if you've been playing for an hour and 15, 20 minutes, you don't really leave the piano. If you have to kind of feel the vibe and know when to take a break, when to come back. It's not really a hazard, but it's not a set kind of schedule.
So you don't show up each day for work with a set list?
Definitely not. I have a list in my mind of about 10,000 pieces, but I really make changes on the spot, depending on the evening.
And for the tables closest to you, are you sort of concerned about making sure it's not too loud for those people?
Well, at the bar, you know, sometimes you do know if somebody is really engaged in some very intimate conversation. You don't want to do too loud, but you also want to have the music adding mm-hmm. to the evening. So it's, again, very spur of the moment.
We're speaking with Diane Leslie, the pianist who performs at One If By Land on Sundays through Tuesdays and Thursday nights, and Aileen Gallagher, senior editor of the Grub Street blog of the New York Magazine. And in the control room, Joel Meyer, monitoring some of the comments. What you got, Joel?
John, I have a confession to make. I recently had a guest in town from Australia, and after he saw all of the major New York sites, he ate pizza in Brooklyn, he went on the Staten Island Ferry, the first thing he wanted to do was find a piano bar in Manhattan. So we went to a piano bar. We've got people with differing opinions weighing in on the soundcheck page. Our listener Kenneth shares his experience singing in a Greenwich Village restaurant, dropping some celebrity names that he sang for. Also, Tom from the Upper West Side weighs in on the other side of the fence. Tom writes, I eat out almost every night, and I never choose a restaurant for its music. I also don't go to concerts for the concession stand.
Aileen, what about the idea of the piano bar? I mean, people still come to New York, and do they see that as, is that a tourist thing?
I'm not sure if it's a tourist thing necessarily. It might be, it's certainly an age thing. I think it's a...
When you say an age thing, you mean like an older generation that's...
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think because they used to be so much more popular. So people who were kind of living in New York in the 60s and 50s, mm-hmm. You know, they want to reclaim that part of their nightlife. And, you know, people like to sing and they go and it's fun. But I think it's more of a matter of, you know, if you're going to go to a piano bar, it's because you really want to go to a piano bar.
Right. All right, back to the idea of musicians in restaurants, though. Mike is joining us from New Jersey. Mike, we were wondering before where all the strolling musicians had gone. Have you seen any lately?
Absolutely.
Where?
If you're in Little Italy, down where the San Gennaro Festival takes place, fairly frequent on a weekend evening, a Friday or Saturday, you'll be sitting there on somewhere between a 5 and a 7 piece band comes strolling in. They play 3-4 songs, get everybody smiling. It's a tremendous hoot, and they just march right out as they play. And I presume they're going to some other restaurant in the area because I've seen them in a couple.
So this is—it's
a lot of fun.
That's at the San Gennaro Festival. Over.
I'm just giving you a location. It's all year long.
It is all year long. Okay.
Yeah.
Emily's on the line with us from Brooklyn. Emily, what do you think of live music in the restaurants?
Well, I've been known to enjoy it, but I've also seen it used as a preemptive strategy in communications. Years ago, I asked my mother to go to brunch to discuss some heavy family stuff, and she picked a lovely jazz brunch place, made sure we had a seat right next to the musicians, and I couldn't hear a word she said, so by the time we got done saying what, I just gave up on it. So I just wanted to let the musicians know you might be used in such a situation.
Uh-huh. Diane, do you suspect that you've been used that way in the past by some of your customers?
Well, again, you have to be very flexible and very discreet, and if...
Well, it sounds like discretion was actually the opposite of what Emily's mom was looking for from her musicians.
Well, you know, we're not right where people are dining. We are sort of... It's not really... To me, this is... One If By Land is not a piano bar. For me, it's my downtown version of Carnegie Hall. I mean, it really is a place where I feel every night I'm giving a concert. It's not something just kind of doing background music, but I don't have the tables right on mm-hmm. me where people are dining, and I would think that if they are dining, it's a whole, it is a different, totally different vibe.
Let's check in one last time in the control room with Joel Meyer and some comments from WNYC.org/soundcheck. Joel?
John, I really like this comment from Nick from Manhattan. He's obviously a musician, and he writes, "It's one of the few gigs in New York that actually pay! !! It's a guarantee as opposed to a percentage or money based on what kind of crowd you can bring in." Now, Nick continues, "There are, of course, some artistic compromises, and we're sometimes completely ignored, or worse. I often play Cuban music and have to politely decline requests to play Gypsy Kings or La Bamba," in quotes.
That is so true.
Is it true?
Well, you know, there is not that much work for musicians, especially serious musicians, and I think it's wonderful to have an opportunity where you can share your music live.
Well, even Mark, who called in, the musician who called in and said he hated the idea when I asked him if he would take the job, immediately said yes. So, all right. So Aileen, I guess our takeaway is live music, maybe not as much as there was maybe a generation or two ago, but it sounds like as long as the jobs are there, there will be musicians to fill them and people who come and see it.
Absolutely. And some places you really want to listen to a piano while you eat.
Where would Rick and Elsa be without Sam and his music at Rick's Cafe in the film Casablanca? We're talking with Aileen Gallagher. She's senior editor of New York Magazine's Grub Street blog, and Diane Leslie, the pianist who performs four nights a week at One If By Land. Aileen, Diane, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
You're welcome. Thank you, John.
Up next, when opera breaks out in the produce aisle of a shopping market. And later, singer-songwriter Jacob Dylan. He joins us to play songs from his upcoming country-tinged album live in our studio.
Walk in the flood. I see the future in this setting sun. Unfolded gardens uncover the earth as it was. Filled with canteens and tea gas from this last voyage.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
I was eating in a Dublin pub, and there were two musicians at a corner table, and I got to thinking, maybe the Irish have it right. You go to an Irish pub to drink the Guinness, hear some local musicians, and maybe choke down some Irish food. Although it did occur to me that the tables closest to the musicians were empty, and stayed that way.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.